Welcome to another episode of the Street Photography Show podcast. I am Mark Rossi, your host, and tonight we have the pleasure of speaking with Sam Sewell, originally from Bangladesh, now residing in Stockholm, Sweden. So welcome to the show, Sam Sewell.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Thank you for being here. I appreciate it. Tell us a bit about yourself. Where do you currently live? What is your background in photography? How did you get into it? And specifically, how did you get into street photography?
I'm actually originally from Bangladesh, currently living in Stockholm, Sweden. My photography journey started from 2015 when I first bought my camera because I was so inspired by this one show in YouTube called Through the Lens. Yeah, so I saw all of these photographers posting their pictures in Instagram and they're making these short videos about it. I was like, wow, that's really cool. That's like how pictures look like if you like, you know, have a camera in hand and go out there and take pictures. I was really inspired because I was home most of the time during that year, 2015. So I was trying to figure out what to do with life. That motivated me somehow to get a new camera, and my parents were supportive about it because my mom was like, okay, you should get a camera and you should take a lot of portrait pictures of mine. So like, yeah, my mom actually bought me the first camera, and it was Nikon D7200 with a Sigma 17-50 f2.8. It was a really good lens and a really great camera. And my friend Shohidullah, he was a street photographer. He was the one who suggested me to go for Nikon. I wasn't like, you know, anyone who's like, yeah, I should get Canon or Nikon. I didn't have any brand preferences. So I took his suggestion. I bought a Nikon. My mom bought it for me, actually. Then like I went along with him, tagged along with him in the street. He taught me a few stuff, like how to take street photography. I have a whole album about it, like how my street photography went in Bangladesh, like around 350 pictures. After that, 2017, I moved to Sweden. After moving to Sweden, I was in Jönköping. It's a small city, and I come from Dhaka City. You can understand like the population, the cultural shock, and everything went on. And I was like, okay, I cannot do street photography in Jönköping because it's a really small city. But photography never left me. I went into drone because drone photography was becoming a thing. I was like, okay, I should get a drone. I first bought my DJI and did some of those. But somewhere along the road, I was feeling like I'm missing out something. Like, this is not it. Like, I don't want to do drone photography. I want the camera on my hand and want to take some pictures. So I was still doing it somehow, not street photography in general, but I was out there taking pictures with my camera. So after I moved to Stockholm, that was like 2019, and I was taking pictures with my camera, with my drone, but due to regulations, of course, I was like, okay, no more drone photography anymore for me. Biggest push in street photography came this year, actually. I had my first full-frame camera was Sony A7 II, right? So I bought it after I moved to Stockholm. And A7 II, being one of the first generation mirrorless camera, it had this lack of focus. It has these focus issues and stuff like that. So when I was like out in the streets with A7 II, I used to miss out quite a lot. My mood was never right when I was out with A7 II because I was like all the time losing focus on the pictures that I wanted to take. This year, after seeing my pictures, like I had good pictures from before too. My manager, where I work right now, she was really, she was like, okay, Samsul, you take nice pictures. Can you do some pictures for us in the hotel? Like, you know, be like a photographer for us, like officially, unofficially. And I was like, okay, definitely I will be, but my camera lacks focus. If you can buy me a new camera. And she was kind enough to say like, of course, definitely. Like, which one do you want? I was like, okay, Sony A7 IV is the one I want right now. And like, okay, here's the card, the company card. You can go buy it. And we made a deal. She was kind enough to buy me that one. And currently I'm using Sony A7 IV with the Sony 85mm 1.8. And thanks to her, my street photography career took off. So all the pictures that you see recently I'm posting is because like I'm out every day with that camera. Like I'm not having a bad day. Every day is like a good day for me because like I don't lose focus. I'm out. I'm happy taking pictures.
I noticed that you shoot a lot at nighttime, and you've got a few images here that I can see the snow falling, and it's really, really pretty. Being where you are, I'm assuming there's snow outside and it's pretty cold. Where I live, it's pretty cold as well. Snow hasn't fallen here, and it's probably not as cold as where you are because, like I said, it looks like snow's already fallen over there.
Oh yeah, we got pretty lucky this year, I would say. Like as street photographers, like we got lucky. Not like in general, I would say. It's like really cold at the moment. It's minus 14 today, and yesterday was too, like minus 12 or something like that. And you can see like everything is frozen outside and it's slippery slope all the way.
We're not there yet.
Soon.
But you did mention something that was interesting and quite true, actually. You know, the best times to go out there is when the weather is bad or when the weather is interesting, right? You know, when it snows, I can totally relate with what you do here, you know, taking pictures when it snows, because in Toronto, it's the same thing. It's absolutely beautiful when it snows in downtown Toronto. Just a whole different shooting experience, you know, as opposed to the summer. Winter just has this dynamic to it that I just love. I love walking in the crisp air and hearing the snow crunch beneath my feet as I walk and fiddling with my camera as I try to keep my fingers warm. It's just a really different experience if people that are listening don't live in a climate you have the opportunity to shoot in snow. It really is quite fascinating. It really is quite surreal to be shooting in a winter wonderland. I'll just put it like that. Certainly, I mean, you're in an area where you really do have this wonderful opportunity, and the images, especially the ones with the snowflakes falling down in front of the lens, those are amazing. I always like those kind of pictures. Do you find yourself going out every, like, is it like you take pictures on your way back from work, or do you get home and you know, you grab your camera and you go back out? Like, how does that dynamic work for you? How does that work in terms of scheduling for you?
I have my camera almost every day with me, apart from the last 2 days, I would say, because it was minus 14 and minus 12, and I had no interest to be out there because it wasn't snow falling.
It was just cold and bitter.
It was just cold, yeah, yeah. So apart from the last 2 days, we talk about since summer, I had my camera with me almost every day. Like, it was barely a week there, like, I missed out to have my camera with me. But yeah, like, the thing is that I do that always after my work, and my work ends around 3:30 p.m. So after that, I would have my camera, go out and take pictures. And I love to shoot when the weather is a bit different, like different as in like when snow is falling and when rain is falling, because that's when you get the real street photography in my sense. Why do I say that? It's because like in Sweden, people are a bit reserved. Like, how would I say that? It's a bit like, you know, they want to keep things for themselves. So they're a bit camera shy, I would say. So if somebody sees like someone pointing camera at them, they will try to avoid that as much as possible. And since Sweden is quite big, the 85 mm plays out really well. Like, you can stay in a distance and take a picture of a subject that you see from far away without getting really close. So yeah, 85 mm plays like perfectly in the streets of Stockholm. For rain and snowfall, perfect, because like when it's raining and when it's snowfalling, people don't care actually. They're busy doing what they're doing.
Yeah, like trying to find cover.
Yeah, yeah. They're going from point A to point B. They're running. They're thinking. They're in their own zone. And that's the time where, as a street photographer, I can say that I shine actually, because I can capture that raw moment of people being in their own zone. People walking by, being themselves, buying stuff from the store or being in the store, you know, running in front of the car. Oftentimes you'll see like a lot of backlights work there, like from the cars and stuff. That I love, because that's where you see like the rain and the snowfall like being lit up.
The differences between the seasons, do you find, and let's use the two extremes here, of course, winter and summer, do you find advantages, disadvantages to shooting in either season? What are your preferences? Do you prefer shooting in the winter? Do you prefer shooting in the summer? Can you give us a little insight into that?
In winter, my shooting period is like quite small. I can only survive like without freezing myself, like around 2 hours or 1 hour, depending on the temperature outside. So like, yeah, in winter, I prefer it because it's shorter period and I get a lot of pictures in this short period because people are not caring and they are on their own way. So I get to capture quite a lot. That's one of the advantage. But the disadvantage during the winter time is that I cannot walk in a distance like far away where like transportation is not like quite often. So I have to keep it in a distance within the city. So I'm limited by that. And I don't walk that much either to see like what's happening. Like, there is something happening everywhere, right? So I cannot be like in all the places during winter. But in summer, the greatest advantage is that the days are long in Sweden. So sunsets around like 10:30, you can say. Like, so after work, I can walk like for 4 hours, 5 hours. It happens sometimes. I'm out like till the sunset. Yeah. So summer had that advantage and I can get a lot of pictures. But winter, the advantage is that even if it's short, I get that raw moment.
But keep in mind, you can also do night photography, right, in the summer as well. I mean, you can still keep walking around. And I will just add a few more things for our listeners. What I find when I'm walking in the streets in the wintertime is, yes, you mentioned, obviously, the cold, which is very true. The other thing, though, that sometimes I find challenging is walking, just in general, especially if, let's say, there was, you know, a fresh snowfall, and you're walking on the sidewalk, and you know how you're trying to find your footing, you know, because there's snow, your ankle might twist this way. And it kind of like, you know, it makes you walk in a very, you know, unnatural way. And you're just trying to not fall down, especially when you have expensive gear around your neck or around your wrist, whatever, just trying to maintain your balance. And I find that challenging. The other thing I find challenging at times is just operating the camera because your fingers get cold. I do wear gloves, but they're the ones with the cutoffs, you know, the ones that have no fabric at the fingers. So this way I can control my camera's functions. The fingertips, they get cold, and I find that challenging. So I just wanted to throw it in there because I know those are a couple of challenges I have as well when I'm photographing in the winter. But preference wise, yeah, I like the winter, to be honest with you, because I find it's just magical.
Yeah, that's true.
I love the snow. I love the snowflakes in the picture. I love the snow on the ground. I love people. Even the way they move in the winter, like you said, right? Everybody's in a hurry. It just seems like there's more action because everybody's trying to stay warm.
Yeah, definitely.
So you moved to Stockholm in 2019 from Bangladesh. And in my mind, I'm thinking, wow, but you know, Bangladesh is a very interesting place. And I'm sure that for street photography, it is a mecca because of the culture, because of the interesting people, the markets that they have there, the festivals that they have in the streets, the food markets. Like I can just, in my mind right now, that all these possibilities are running through my brain. And am I correct to say that Bangladesh is quite photogenic in that respect?
Oh yeah, definitely. If you're a street photographer, if you're living in Bangladesh, you have like infinite subjects.
I mean, the pictures, I mean, this potential of creating beautiful images. You know how you can be in an area or you could be in a place and you could just like literally point the camera somewhere and you can take a picture, and sometimes you can just kind of joke about it saying, oh, I could point the camera anywhere. I'm going to get a nice picture. That's kind of what like a place like Bangladesh would make me think, right? And so when you go to Stockholm, Sweden, was it the same for you? Did you feel like there was a lack of subject matter? Even though it's quite beautiful, no doubt, but did you feel like there was a lack of subject matter as opposed to Bangladesh?
Oh yeah, definitely. Over here, I had to realize like what kind of photo I want to take. I had to go through this process by going out every day and then realizing, okay, these are the kind of pictures, street photos that I want to make, right? Thing is that in Bangladesh, it wasn't like that. If you are out in the street, there is like, as you said, like there is something happening. You point the camera and you get like an action there happening. It wasn't the same when I moved to Stockholm. Stockholm was like trial and error, and then finally understanding like, you know, this is the kind of pictures I want to take over here, and that's where to find the actions and stuff.
Because you use an 85 millimeter, you're not really in a person's face. So, you know, obviously there's different focal lengths that people can argue about and dispute and talk about, you know, which one's better in street photography and et cetera. You know, it's a classical debate. Now you use 85 and the images are coming out great. Do you like that 85 millimeter focal length because of the perspective that you get? Or do you like it because it's a lens that allows you to be in a position where you don't have to deal with confrontation?
Once I got my Sony A7 IV, right, I had Sigma 24-70 f2.8. That was my go-to lens all the time. So I was like, okay, my friend has this Nikon Z6 with 85mm. So I was like, okay, can you give me your camera? I want to see, like, I want to compare, like, how the difference is, like, between Sony and Nikon, like, with this both mirrorless. And he had the 85mm only, so I took his one and I started doing street with that. It was during this summer, and I fell in love with it. Like, I was like, oh my god, what, this 85mm is creating images like that's like straight out of my dream. I was like, okay, I gotta get an 85mm for my Sony then. Yeah, then I got the 1.8 version of it. It didn't create it as like, you know, like I would say like the Nikon 85mm has a bit extra to it, I still was like, no, I cannot, you know, just give up on this. I have to keep on trying. So it was a bit of a challenge for myself, like I put out for myself. I was using that 85mm as a challenge, like, no, I can create beautiful pictures with it. I just have to go out there and try and practice and practice. And it's not like that I'll be stuck with the 85mm. My goal is also to have the 50mm, 1.4 or 1.2. I love to shoot at like the wide aperture, especially during nighttime, because it gives that bokeh in the background, that blur, like that makes the pictures look a bit
greener. That's right. Well, you're going to get that with an 85, right? I mean, with an 85, you're going to get better compression and you're going to get better bokeh. That's just physics. That's the nice thing about an 85. I mean, that's why, you know, 85 millimeter to 105 is considered your classic portrait focal length.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like you hear all the time, yeah, you cannot do street photography with an 85. It is possible based on the place you are at. So in Stockholm, 85mm is one of the best lens for street photography, I would say.
If I ever come to Stockholm, Sweden, you're going to have to take me out and I'm going to bring my 85 with me and I'm going to try it.
Definitely.
You know, I want to try to be like Sam Tool.
Well, you can be better than me.
So when you take an image, what is it in that image that says to you, oh, I've got a good one? What is it? Well, like, what defines a great image for you?
Oh, actually, I gave up on that. I was like, oh, that is a good one. That's actually quite a wrong idea in my perspective, because I used to do that. I used to do that quite a lot. I was like going out, taking pictures, and I was like, oh, that's a great one. I come back home. I was like, nah, I'm not that satisfied with that. So now I just take pictures. I just enjoy taking picture out in the street. I enjoy the process of it. I enjoy to see the movements, the light, and everything. I just take the pictures, right? I have now, at the moment, over 10 terabytes of pictures out.
Like, that's a lot of calling.
Yeah, and I haven't edited most of them. It's like just laying there. I was like, okay, maybe one day I'll touch the pictures and I'll see like how it is. So I just enjoy the process, and you know, I that's about it. I'll just go out 2 hours. Like there are good days, bad days, depending on my mood and everything. So I come back home, I start taking a look at the pictures. So there will be like 1,000 pictures if I'm out for like, you know, 3 hours taking pictures in the street of Stockholm. And then I'll be like, oh, maybe that's a good one. Oh, maybe that's a good one. And then I just go along and edit them. And most of my editing happens in mobile Lightroom, and I'm also a lazy editor, I would say.
Well, I'm looking at your Instagram feed. I mean, and you know, from what I can see, the most recent posts as opposed to the earlier posts on your feed, I can definitely see a transition in editing technique. Like it's like you started one way and then you kind of gradually implemented other editing techniques. Would you say that's correct?
Yeah, definitely. Because I from my point of view, like staying stuck with one particular theme of editing style is like, it's just death for photography, I would say. Like you have to experiment. Photography is all about like experiment, experiencing the moment and growing. There will be good days, good months, bad months, good years, bad years, right? You can just like just say like, oh, this is my photography style. I take pictures like this. Right now, if you see like the editing is like quite similar, because I'm taking pictures during the snow time, so it's mostly the same style of editing, but it will eventually change back again depending on the season. And now I'm also trying with portrait, that will change to landscape. Staying consistent in photography, whether it's your editing skill or it's a style of photography, is I would say consistency is death in photography. So you gotta like keep on like experimenting with photography in order to get better yourself and also to inspire and motivate others.
What YouTube channels do you watch to get inspiration or ideas or learn from?
The Art of Photography. I love his like his videos in YouTube. He used to talk about street photography and everything related to street photography. I loved all the videos he made. He used to talk about a lot of like artists back in the days. Those actually really inspired me in my photography journey, like how to see things in a different perspective out there in the world and to capture it. So he was quite inspiration for me.
That's great. So you got information from him that really helped you. And as you matured in your, you know, your photography and your craft, what did you find you learned better? Like, what did you see yourself improving in?
Yeah, I would say like I'm improving with this focal length, first of all, the 85mm. And I would like to challenge myself soon with 35mm. One thing that I improved at is editing style, I would say, in photography. And also, like, my perspective changed over the time, like, to get closer to people and take pictures. Because back in the days, I was, like, a bit scared, like, you know, oh, if I go up to a person's face, I might scare them. So I was like, okay, now it's time to omit that from my mind. Like, I have to challenge myself to go closer to a person if I want to capture that person and that moment. So that thing definitely changed a lot over the time. So I'll say, like, I gained my courage and my editing skill got better and getting better at 85.
I'm looking at your feed here. Phenomenal work. And what I want to do is I just want to go through your feed here and I just want to pick one image and I just want to talk about that image. There's an image that you posted on your Instagram feed November 14th, so fairly recent. It's in a set of three, but it's the first image that I want to focus on. And it's of a younger lady, probably in her 20s, I'd say. And she's under a canopy, like a storefront canopy with lights. I love the way you captured this because it shows like the string of lights directly coming from the background to in front of her and going right over her head. And it's just like, the light that it's casting on the left is so much different than what you see on the right, because on the right it looks like it was a rainy day and it's all wet, and on the left it's all dry. And then up in the top of the frame you see this canopy of lights with her directly smack dab in the center of those lights, and it's like she's stuck in two different worlds. You know that image I'm talking about?
I mean, you're making me look at my own picture in a new way. I haven't seen at it like this before.
But you see what I'm saying? It so looks like that. And I wasn't sure if you did that intentionally or if it was just pure luck, which, you know, let's be honest, sometimes that's what a lot of great photography is. It's just pure luck.
It's just pure luck, definitely. Because the thing is that I was there with a friend of mine and we were doing street photography and we went out for the first time to do street photography together, right? Near there is this Scandinavian photo from where I bought my, like, it's a camera store. I bought this, like, plastic wrapping thing for my camera, you know, so that I can be out in the rain, take pictures and without getting my camera wet for a longer time. So we bought that and we were, like, walking through there and we saw this light from far away. And I was like, okay, let's go there. We spend a bit time. So we were there like around for 10 minutes or something like that. And this picture was taken exactly at the time when we were like, okay, we are done. We should walk. We should keep moving forward. So I look back and I see no one absolutely there apart from one person using her phone coming this direction. I was like, okay, I got a line. Like, I was standing right underneath the lights and I was, okay, I'm in a perfect spot. I just turned around instantly and I snapped her, like, you know, as she's keeping the phone in her pocket and walking exactly through that spot. So yeah, as you said, a bit of a luck.
Well, it's a great image. Like I said, I was looking at it and these are some of the points that came to my mind when I was looking at it. I just love the way it was composed. I love the way, you know, it's got that feel of separation. It's got that feel of being, you know, the subject is being lit by lights up above. It's a really interesting photo. So I just thought I'd bring that up. So it sounds like you go out photographing with friends at times, correct?
Yes, definitely. But that's like very rarely. It's like happens like, you know, maybe twice a month or something like this. It's not often I go out with them.
Do you prefer shooting with friends or do you prefer shooting alone?
Oh, no, definitely. I prefer shooting with my friends like outside like this. Then it's like more entertaining. Like we talk about it and we both like street photography. So like most of my friends are like, they're working longer than me. So my work ends at 3:30 and they have like a different working schedule. So we never match up and stuff like that. And I do more intense street photography than them. So oftentimes like I'm out in the street and already exhausted, done taking picture, and they're just done with work. And they're knocking me like, hey, do you want to go? I was like, oh, I'm already back home now. So yeah, but definitely like a lot of people are hitting me up these days, like they're from different countries too. They're finding me in Instagram and they're saying like, hey, let's go out, take pictures together, like other street photographers, other really talented street photographers. So I'm planning to go out with people I don't know, like we're gonna meet up and it's gonna be fun. So street photographers,
when you're photographing with people, so you say you like being with people because you can talk about the photography, and I'm assuming when, you know, you talk about the pictures and, hey, that was a good shot. And other than that, would you say there's a disadvantage to shooting with people?
Well, yeah, there is one, definitely. One of the disadvantages that you have to talk and sometimes you miss out the things that you want to take. It can happen to me and it can happen to the person who's with me, right? Because certain times I'll bring up a topic and the other time they will bring up a topic and we are talking and we might see a subject that we want to run after it. So it's a bit rude to say like, hey, stop, let's run. Like we can do that sometimes, but not all the time. So that's one of the disadvantages. Another advantage is that like we see perspective from different eyes, right? So something that they can learn from me. And so most of the time I see new fresh perspective through my friend's eyes, like, oh, okay, this is another style of framing.
What's one tip you could give our listeners if they want to go out there and shoot for the first time, like a new street photographer? What would be one tip you'd give them to help them?
Well, I would say the first step is just to get out, like go out there, don't think about technicality and don't overthink about taking a picture because most of the time we do overthink about stuff. Just take a picture you like and you see how it goes and keep on doing that repeatedly and you're going to get better at it. So that's the only advice I would give, like just go out there every day.
And I would also add to that, when a new photographer wants to go out and venture into street photography, don't worry so much about the camera that you have, the gear that you have. Just use what you have, even if it's your iPhone. Just go out there and start shooting, like Samsul said. So it's excellent advice. I think everybody would agree with that statement. It's shoot because you want to shoot. Don't be afraid. Just do it and just shoot with what you have. And if you like it and you get hooked and you progress, then yes, you do what most people do and they invest in a different camera or, you know, a camera that would be better suited to the genre, right? Or a camera that you just want, let's be honest, right? Sometimes.
Exactly. People just
want the best of the best. And if they've got the money to afford it, why not? The other thing I see in your work is it's pretty much all color. Have you ever considered shooting more black and white? Because I don't think I see too much black and white on your feed. Have you ever thought of shooting black and white or more of it? And maybe do you prefer color? Like maybe you don't like black and white. I don't know. What's your answer to that?
So the thing is that I shot black and white at the beginning of my photography journey. Like I was only shooting black and white at that time. So yeah, is in Bangladesh, like the album that I have, you will see like almost more than 50% photos that I've taken in Bangladesh was black and white. But down the road, one of my cousin was like, why do you all the time take pictures black and white? Try out color sometimes, like could be fun. Then I got stuck with color after that. Like, and then I never thought about shooting black and white. Actually, and I love color. I love to add it, like, you know, it's for me, it's fun. I haven't thought about it. Maybe in the future I would also do black and white, but for now color it is for me.
Well, the nice thing with digital cameras is you can always convert the image to a black and white image. So certainly not hard to do now with technology as it is, right? So you said you used to shoot a lot of black and white back home in Bangladesh. How long was that? Like, how long were you doing that in black and white? How long were you photographing in black and white?
Oh, that was just for a few months. That wasn't that long. I got some really good portraits of people in the street, vendors and people working, you know, living their regular life in the streets. Like, yeah, those black and white are there. I got some really good pictures of people in boats and stuff like that. I will share the album with you. You can have a look later on. Bangladesh, like, you know, as you said earlier, wherever you point your camera, there's action. So the action in black and white looked a bit like dramatic from my perspective in Bangladesh.
And so, I mean, obviously, you know, you've been photographing since 2015. Do you foresee maybe anything in the future like a show, or have you thought about doing anything like zines or anything like that where your work is on print? Have you thought about that?
Well, one of the local shop over here, they curate photographs and sell it to, like, it's locally known as like Cola Shop. So they have reached out to me and I have like some prints they're selling, but those are not street photographs. Those are like more like back in the days when I did my drone and scenery photos and stuff like that. But with street photography, I would say like I'm just getting started. It has been 6 months. I'm taking it really seriously and I want to keep on doing it as long, because like I know if I focus on printing and stuff like that, I would do this one less. So maybe down in the road in a few years, I will do what you are talking about right now.
Yeah, because I think that's something that at one point in time, most photographers will think about, right? Like, how can I have my work in print? Because it's one thing to see your work on a screen, and it's quite another to see it on paper, right?
Yeah,
paper
definitely.
Is just, it's just a different experience altogether, right? It's just so neat to pick up an actual print of your own work. I mean, that's the feeling I get. I have prints throughout my house, and they're prints that, you know, I'm very proud of. And I actually have pictures that my daughter took up around the house as well, because she's a bit of a little photographer herself. In our house, it's pretty much a lot of the images that are hanging on the wall are my images, and then I got some of my daughter's images up. So that's pretty nice. It's nice when you can enjoy your own art, you know?
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely.
Going forward, you know, in your photographic journey, where would you like to be 2 years from now, 5 years from now? What are you hoping to cross off the list in terms of photography?
You were asking about dreams of a photographer, like I want my work to be in exhibitions and stuff like that. So yeah, so that's a dream. That's a dream in the future. And also to go out in the streets of other cities and other countries and do street photography over there. That's another dream. Like now I'm doing street photography in Stockholm, but I want to go out like in many other cities. And especially I love Germany because the dynamic of it is like somehow close to my home country, because there's a lot of thing happening there, like, and a lot of people living there. So wherever there is a lot of people, a lot of action going on. So like I love Germany, like especially Hamburg. Somehow it like, you know, reminds me of home. So yeah, I would love to do that. I would love to be a street photographer in Hamburg one day. So that is also another dream I see myself in the next 5 years.
Yeah, so I guess we'll see those images on Instagram then, right?
hopefully it's more than Instagram by that time.
Yeah, hopefully. That would be great. And I mean, certainly we'll be following you and we'll see what happens, right? So when someone's looking at your Instagram feed, what do you hope the viewer takes from your feed?
Well, I hope they enjoy the pictures, because this is something that I enjoy taking. And I love this process of taking pictures. So I hope my viewers are also like enjoying it when they see it. And also like for other street photographers, I hope they get motivated, like, you know, to go out there and take pictures every day, because I post every day. So that means like I'm out in the street every day. So that's something I want for other photographers to do too. Just go out there and take pictures. One of the things that I want to say to other street photographers, don't think about like how they put it, like the bangers, right? In social media, like, oh, this is the picture. This is the banger. No, every day you should go out, take pictures and just enjoy the process and have good pictures. And I hope that's what I put forward for the street photographers through my pictures in social media. And for the other viewers, I hope they just enjoy the pictures, like, you know, love to see the process of it.
Well, listen, Samsul, thank you so much for joining me here on the Street Photography Show podcast. Really looking forward to see what, you know, comes from you next. And certainly we'll be watching your Instagram feed. For our listeners, if they want to see your work and reach out to you and get to see, you know, get to know you a little better, where can they go? Can you give us those links?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'll provide you with the links, and usually I post regularly in Instagram, so more than welcome to see my work there. It's called Visual Tale, and I'll give out the link to you.
It'll be in the show notes below for sure. Absolutely. Again, thanks so much for joining me on the show. Really appreciated the chat. And thank you to the listeners for listening in. And hopefully you enjoyed this episode with Samsul. If you enjoyed the show, please remember to follow and highly rate the show, as it allows me to continue creating more content for you, my awesome listeners. Also, don't forget to join us next week, as new episodes are added on Fridays. Until next time, keep walking and keep clicking. This is Mark Rossi. Bye for now.